Good morning. The markets are moving and so are you from the BizNews studios. This is BizNews Daybreak for Thursday, the 15th of January, 2026. I'm Alec Hogg. Here's the context you need to win the day. Well, so much of the news is really just noise on the surface, superficiality. And we remind you this continuously that there's a whole lot of things that are happening behind the scenes that we really know nothing about. We'll find more of that this morning, where Donald Trump is now talking. He's issued a statement anyway to say that he's been told that there's no more massacring going on in Iran. Well, that's directly contrary to the information that seems to be emerging elsewhere. Is he playing a game? Isn't he? Well, you can be the judge of that. But as far as the markets are concerned, another thing that will really prick your ideas in this regard is that the South African rand continues to hold on to recent gains. 16 rand 42 is what it's going to cost you today to buy a US dollar. And that is a continuation of a trend that we've seen now pretty much in place since around May last year, when the rand was just below 20 to the US dollar. So put that into context, it would have cost you to import something in US dollar terms 20 rand for every $1 worth of value. Now it's only costing you 16 rand 42, and that's incredible strength since May last year. The gold price is also banging around there. If things were getting out of hand, you could be sure that it too would be going in the other direction, down slightly, about 1% as we start the day at $4,600. And Bitcoin, on the other hand, is holding on to its recent gains. It's at $95,750, up slightly, yes, on overnight. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ overnight, this is in the US yesterday while we were sleeping, they were both slightly lower. S&P down 0.5%, NASDAQ down by 1%. And when I have a look at the shares that are owned by the BizNews tribe in the various portfolios, Meta once again under pressure, 2.5% lower. Amazon also 2.5% down. Outside of those two, though, pretty steady. For the rest of the portfolio, slight decrease, for instance, on ASML, 0.5%, and Google pretty much unchanged. A winner in recent times has been Teledyne, that is the defense and technology company, up another 1.33% overnight. And it's had a good run since we heard all the craziness going around in the Middle East. On the local markets, or here in South Africa, as far as our portfolio is concerned, bounced back by Purple Capital. The Lewis share price unchanged before you got ideas on that one. But the real winner yesterday was Sasol. Sasol was up by 5.5%, and that has been building on recent gains by the stock in the past week. It's up 17%. So Sasol's had a very good run indeed, and it was the best performer of the large caps yesterday. Also doing well, Glencore. Remember, there's that proposed acquisition by Rio Tinto of Glencore, more of a merger, but they fashioning it as an acquisition. And Impala Platinum, 2.5% stronger. Northern Platinum, a similar amount. Those were the winners yesterday. MTN, after a 70% gain in the last year, you've got to wonder what investors were thinking, given that MTN is so exposed to what's going on in Iran, up 70% in the past year. It is now starting to show a few cracks in that edifice. The share price down 2.33% yesterday on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. And a surprise decline yesterday from Pepkor by 5%. Not sure what's going on there, but I guess it will come out in the wash in due course. Not much news on the Stock Exchange News Service at the moment, so nothing there that we can pick up from. Shareholders in Tiger Brands will get a little bit concerned when they have a look at the performance of that share price yesterday. It was down by 10%, but never fear, nothing really to report there, excepting that those people who bought the stock yesterday will not receive the special dividend. You had to have been in Tiger Brands on Tuesday to enjoy that benefit. Okay, on to the big story of the moment around the world was as reports of a massacre in Iran continue to mount. Internal memos are now citing 12,000 dead in just 48 hours. The silence from Pretoria is becoming deafening. We spoke to Dr. Iraj Abedian, the renowned economist. He was the professor of economics at UCT for almost two decades. He was born in Iran, raised in that country, and is a well-known South African, has spent most of his adult life here. Indeed, apart from having his own firm, Pan-African Capital, he did spend a period between academia and entrepreneurship as the chief economist of Standard Bank. He couldn't hide his anguish for the place that he was born in and where he has many friends and family. And in this powerful clip from our interview yesterday, he questions how the South African government can claim to uphold human rights while maintaining warm relations with a regime that he describes as the Nazis of the 21st century. Listen to this. Iraj, the South African position, is this bemusing to you?
Honestly, Alec, if I want to be open about it, I can cry. I can cry for three, four reasons. One, at this point in time, after so many reports against a regime that has been by the United Nations, remember South Africa promotes multilateralism, adherence to the rules, compliance with the UN standards, and as opposed to unilateralism. So the United Nations has issued so many reports branding, issuing written verdict that this regime has carried out crime against humanity, time and again. And as we speak, the same. I ask myself, why should the South African government, under the constitution that we have, under the constitution that ANC fought for and championed, why should a government violate its own constitutional mandate under which, within the framework of which, has to govern its local and international affairs? So that is a big, big issue. If it was 40 years ago, I can understand. But now, in 2025 and 2026, even close association with, on our own constitutional grounds, meaning human rights, women's rights, right of freedom of association, right of expressing your social preferences, the right to march legally, yes. But remember, the Iranian government for 47 years has refused to issue permits for peaceful demonstration. It hasn't been for lack of trying. Therefore, I ask myself, our department, our ministers, our people who we pay to collect intelligence, well-analyzed geopolitical conditions in order to guide our cabinet, what have they been thinking? That's one side that I really find it very confusing. Secondly, in terms of the global polarization, why the national interest can be possibly be seen as associating with the regime that, without a shadow of doubt, Alec, it's not just my conviction. Many, many well-informed, much better informed analysts, history will write this event and this regime as the Nazis of the 21st century.
As mentioned in the outset of the program today, we really don't know. There's a heck of a lot of noise that's going on. And Donald Trump is now, the mercurial Donald Trump is coming out with another statement. Here's the very latest from Bloomberg, which suggests that the tensions between the U.S. and Iran may be de-escalating.
Also today, President Trump said he has been assured that Iran would stop killing protesters. Trump said he was informed by very important sources. Here is Becca Wasser from Bloomberg Economics.
Right now, everything is on the table still. The president has said that he has on good authority that they've stopped the killings, but he wants to wait and see exactly what happens. So he's retaining all of the options that have been talked about in the National Security Council meeting on Iran that happened just the other day. So all of that to say is we still could see strikes, but this does seem to be de-escalating a little bit or stepping back from where he's been.
That is Becca Walzer from Bloomberg Economics.
Yeah, right. Then again, one never really knows with Trump, do we? Perhaps he's just playing another game, or it's a negotiating tactic. Who knows? He might be doing the same thing in Greenland, where European nations are now becoming increasingly involved, and one presumes this is what Trump was driving at right in the beginning. He wants better defense of Greenland's sea lanes, or how better to get the Europeans to assist the Americans in actually doing that. Here's the latest on that from our partners at Bloomberg. They also report about latest on the Fed chair and the quarterly reports from banking stocks yesterday. Seems like the banking shares are all falling in unison on what the market believes is disappointing numbers.
The Prime Minister of Greenland has categorically ruled out joining the U.S. He said the Arctic territory prefers to be in union with Denmark. Now, his remarks came as diplomats from both Denmark and Greenland met today with U.S. officials. Here is Danish Foreign Minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen.
Greenland, for the time being and for foreseeable future, will remain within the kingdom of Denmark. And therefore, this is a common position that we want to work with our American friends and allies, but it must be a respectful cooperation and it must respect the red lines.
For his part, President Trump said he's not going to give up on acquiring Greenland.
If we don't go in, Russia's going to go in and China's going to go in. And there's not a thing that Denmark can do about it, but we can do everything about it.
Meantime, Germany said it will send military personnel to Greenland as European nations respond to those U.S. threats. President Trump has reportedly said he has no plan to remove Fed Chair Jay Powell. These remarks come as the Department of Justice continues to investigate the renovation project of the Fed's headquarters and Powell's testimony to Congress about it. President Trump told Reuters it's too early to say if the probe would give him grounds to oust Powell and that he's in a holding pattern with respect to the Fed chairman. Trump also praised potential nominees to replace Powell. They include White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett and former Fed Governor Kevin Warsh. Trump went on to say he will be announcing something in a couple of weeks. Banking shares fell today after reporting quarterly results. We had Wells Fargo missing profit expectations. The stock was down more than 4.5%. Bank of America slid 3.8% today, given concern about its outlook for expenses. And Citigroup posted a surge in financial advisory fees. However, the bank trimmed guidance on its efficiency ratio. Shares in Citi were down today by 3.3%. Here is Bloomberg analyst Herman Chan.
A lot of sector rotation into banks and financials in general, and you have a higher bar and higher expectations heading into the fourth quarter results. You saw that with JP Morgan yesterday where the stock was down, and now you've seen Bank of America, Citi, and Wells Fargo also weaker in today's trading session. I would say that Wells Fargo missed estimates, and then there is a much tighter focus on expenses, especially with JP Morgan's estimate of 9% expense growth for 2026. So that's really front and center for a lot of these banks.
The global mining industry will be heading to Cape Town in the next couple of weeks for the Mining Indaba. It's a institution for miners, many of whom ply their trade in the cold north. So they find a visit to Cape Town in January to be a highlight in their calendar, and why not? Here's Peter Major. What is going to be the big talking point, do you think, over the next week?
I think it's going to be U.S. investing in critical minerals. I've seen a lot of the talks coming through like that. And I'm just picking up, you know, I'm on Bloomberg's, I'm on a couple of mining chat lines. And that's the most common theme I'm seeing, Alec, is the U.S. realizes China has the critical minerals and we don't. And we've allowed it. And man, if you see the deals they've done, gee, I wish I was on the other side of those deals, because they are paying like they're not afraid of printing money. You know, they're paying like Donald Trump's the one running the cash register. They're securing rare earth contracts at what is close to the all-time high, and they're guaranteed for 10 years. You know, I want to sell a mine to the U.S. Critical Mineral Investment Committee. I think that's, I'm just guessing, but I think that's going to be one of the main topics, is everybody wants to show, hey, we have minerals. They're not committed to China, Russia, others. The states can have them. Come on in. That's what I think. But talk to me in another week or two. I'll have a better idea.
No doubt. But it does also show the opportunity, the window of opportunity for South Africa.
Oh, boy,
it does. If we didn't have to go to war, or go to at least verbal war with the Americans right now, because they've got open checkbooks. They've got a much bigger checkbook than we have. And it is an opportunity now for South Africa to, I suppose, cash in on in an area where it really has been lagging.
You know, it's kind of like a gambler all of a sudden gets a chance to redeem himself, you know, and he can't forgive and fix everything that he's desolated. But this is a unique and powerful opportunity for South Africa to do what it takes to get in good with America and get that. Because when the Pentagon's spending money, they're not looking like the return on investment, like all your banks and your other mining firms all over the world. They're looking at securing supply. And boy, they're willing to overlook a lot of things that maybe the politicians weren't previously willing to overlook. And that's the situation we're in now, Alec. Sure, we bumped heads with them a few times, but there's nothing stopping the ANC from sitting down and saying, guys, we want to fix some of the past that you don't like, and we want to build a super future, and we want your guys' involvement in this, you know? And the states can't. They're willing to write big checks, and they're not going to have to look at the ROIs like even the Chinese do. That's a unique opportunity. That is a one-off opportunity.
And now you have the edge. For the full interviews and the details behind these stories, head over to biznews.com. I'm Alec Hogg. Thank you for starting your morning with us. Now go and seize the day.